Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. And we are going to continue our study on the topic of prayer. John, chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. I want to help you tonight. I think tonight's lesson may be one of my favorite lessons that I'll be teaching on the topic of prayer. I think it'll be a blessing to you if you pay attention here. John chapter 6, let's start reading in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men to sit down. That could be tough in and of itself, amen. Make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is of a truth that the prophet, that he should come into the world. Now, listen to me carefully. I long for you to understand the joy of having your prayers answered regularly. There's nothing like having the assurance that when you pray, God's going to answer. There's nothing more depressing than wondering if you're just talking to the ceiling. I long for you to get things from God that you need and even that you want. I guess what I long for most, though, is for you to walk so close to God that you feel like you can ask him and that you know that he's going to answer. I long for you to have that fellowship with God so closely that you can ask him whatever you want to ask him. Tonight, I want to elevate your prayer life. Tonight, there's a sweet, exciting truth in John chapter 6 that we just read that we passed by. There is a part of prayer that we look past so often. And that is this. How would you like to be used by God to answer prayer? How would you like for God to use you to answer prayer? How would you like to be close enough to God that if he said, I have somebody in need and I'd like you to go answer it for me, that he'd ask you? I'm not saying that you're looking for ways to answer your prayers. Did you hear that statement? I'm not saying that you are looking for ways for God to use you to answer your own prayer. I'm saying that God would just use you to answer someone else's prayer. For many years, 5 years, it was my privilege to work for Brother Hiles. On a couple occasions, he asked me to personally do some things for him. It was a day I got a phone call. He was out of town. He said, Brother Bush, I need you to go to the hospital. I need you to go visit this person. He said, I know you normally go and say, I'm doing this for preacher. He said, I want you to tell them I called you and personally asked you to do this. I said, yes, sir, I'm leaving now. Man, can I tell you what an honor that was? To be able to go visit someone who was sick in the hospital, because Brother Hiles personally called me from out of town and said, you go do this. Man, that was fun. I don't know about you, but that was exciting to me. There were times where Brother Hiles would allow me to go deliver a package, or at Christmas time, sometimes there was a carload or a truckload of packages to somebody's home because he knew somebody that wouldn't have Christmas, and he'd say, just take them by and tell them preacher loves them. Man, that was fun. There's just nothing like being able to be used to see God answer somebody's prayers. And to be the, this isn't the right word, but to be the delivery person or the messenger or the vehicle by which it got to be answered. Can I tell you something? That's a wonderful way to live. It is a wonderful way to live. I get, as pastor, to see the needs of the people of our church like nobody else gets to see. I know who in here needs financial help, usually. I know who needs physical needs met. I know who has spiritual needs. I know who has emotional needs. There are other needs that are there that you share with me in confidence and in private and in counseling that I know about. There's other things that, because I've worked with people so long, that I'm able to read and be able to see without anybody saying anything. Every once in a while, God allows me to help people that way. Every once in a while, somebody will say, Brother Bush, God's given me a little extra. Here, you just use it as you need to. And they have no idea the next person walking through the door has the exact need that they gave me. One time, I had a man walk in my office. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I don't have much, but Lord laid it on my heart. Here's some money, and I need you to help whoever. It was the exact amount, I mean to the penny, that somebody needed to pay a bill. And the bill was sitting on my desk. I had been begging God for 3 days for the money to be able to pay it. The next day, I called somebody and said, I got your money and your bill. Here, come pay it. God does that. Can I tell you how fun that is? That's a fun way to live. Now, the greatest blessing in the world is being a blessing, not getting a blessing. Did you hear that? The greatest blessing in the world is being a blessing, not getting a blessing. I want to teach you about this tonight and see if I can help you a little bit. I've got about 5 or 6 things, and we'll be done. Number one, ask God to be used to help people daily. When's the last time you asked God to let you help somebody? And I mean not just, okay, God, you show me, I'll do it. I mean you consciously said, something I try to do, I don't do it probably like I should. But many times a day, I kind of adopted something that Brother Hiles taught me, and I'll tell the Lord something like this. I'll say, Lord, help me to help the person you would help if you were here today. Lord, show me who it is that needs your help today and let me help them. Lord, help me cross the path of those whom Jesus would cross if he were here, and let me meet their need like he would. And I'm not talking about I do that at 5 o'clock in the morning and I don't think about it again. I do it throughout the day, several times a day. You say, why? Because then I'm looking for somebody's need. If you start asking God to use you to help meet somebody's need, can I tell you something? You're going to start looking for people in need. Now, listen to this statement. These may not be the ones that you would normally help, but they might be the ones Jesus would help. Did you catch that? These may not be the ones that you would help, but they are the ones that Jesus would help. I was coming to church this morning. I stopped at Sheets, picked up a coffee, and got to the register, and the lady said, "You got a free one. Do you want it today?" I said, "Sure. Anything free?" That's a Baptist preacher's favorite word. She kind of chuckled. The lady behind me was getting her coffee. She said, "Boy, I wish mine was free." She had this same size coffee I had. I knew exactly how much it was. I had the money in my hand. I hadn't put it back in my wallet. I flipped it to the lady behind the counter. I said, go ahead and give her hers for free today. She said, oh, sir, I didn't mean that. I said, it's okay. I said, you're an answer to my prayer. She said, what? I said, trust me, it's okay. Say, what was that? I was looking for somebody's need. Say, well, what if they had the money to pay for it? It was still a blessing to them. It was what I was supposed to do to help somebody. Everybody understand that? Sometimes it's not the person that you think it is. And I'm going to make a statement here. Sometimes God will ask you to help somebody that's lost. I really believe that some lost person has a mama praying for their kids somewhere. And God's answering that mama's prayer by you helping somebody. Boy, that's big stuff. Number two, look and listen for people's needs. I'm talking about everywhere you go. When's the last time your heart broke for somebody because they had a need? When's the last time you thought about the people in the Philippines that just had that typhoon rip through here about a month ago and they still have no place to live? Say, well, there's nothing I can do. You can pray for them. When's the last time you thought about looking through the obituary on a daily basis and praying for people you don't even know? I'm talking about people that call you, people that text you. I'm talking about the people at work. I know every person in here, just about, except my secretary, has to work around somebody that's hard to get along with. See, I prefaced it before you caught it, all right? I caught it before you did that time. Now, wait a minute. We all work around some people that are just not pleasant to work around. Those ought to be your projects. Where were we at the other night? Mindy, were we... I know where we were. I took my family to dinner. And my daughter got the waitress to laugh with her a little bit. She said, beat you, Dad. Got her to laugh with me first. I said, I got her smiling and laughing long before. She said, not like that. You know what? I was glad she was looking for a way to cheer somebody up. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't cost money to get somebody to smile. Sometimes you think answering somebody's prayer is only financial. Sometimes it's just taking the load off. Sometimes it's just getting them to smile. Sometimes it's just taking that old crab and trying to get them to not be an old crab for a second. I'm gonna make a statement here somebody might get upset with me for, but I really believe it's true. Not all answers to prayer have to be spiritual. You know, there's nothing necessarily spiritual about somebody smiling, but it will help their spirit. There's nothing necessarily with the people you work. Sometimes that person is so cranky because nobody wants to follow what they're supposed to do. Maybe if you just do your job and try to get others rallied behind them to do their job, that person wouldn't be so cranky. I remember working and I had some men around me and the day shift wouldn't work like they were supposed to. And then sometimes the day shift manager would work in the nights and they would flip flop. And he didn't understand our shift didn't work that way. I'd get to work and fix his coffee. He'd almost pour it down the drain because he didn't know if somebody put X-lax in it or what. You know, what's wrong with you, Bush? Nothing. Just trying to take care of you, boss. You just look at me. And our regular manager was working days and he saw it and he'd just grin. He said, I'll tell him later. He'd see him over there talking. I'd make sure I'd watch his cup a little bit. In between parts, I'd run over and fill up his coffee again. four creams, three sugars, and then the rest of it coffee. How in the world anybody can drink it with? And that's not coffee. That's just hot chocolate. And we'd do that. And after about 3 or 4 hours of this, he walks over and he says, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "I don't even like you." He said, "You know it." I said, "I know. You don't have to like me." I said, "You're my boss." I said, "We got to be stuck working here for 8 hours. You might as well enjoy it because I'm going to." He said, "You're weird." I said, "I've been called worse. Don't worry." You know, after about a week of that, he couldn't take it anymore. He'd give me the scummiest, nastiest jobs to do. I'm down there whistling. Say why? I didn't know what else to do because it stunk so bad. Sometimes it was just clear in my head. He'd say, "I've given you the worst jobs this week. You've produced more than anybody I've ever seen produce doing those jobs." He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Nothing, just wanted you to have a good week." He said, "Yeah, but you got everybody else in this shop rallied behind you, and they're doing the same thing." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "What's wrong with that?" I said, "Don't you enjoy it? I'm not used to this." You know, before I left, he couldn't wait to work night shift. Say why? Because we just took care of him. We didn't make him hassle us to get the job done. We asked him to do more. That really turned his tail upside down. He didn't know what to do with that one. Now, wait a minute. Turn your helping them. Listen to this statement. Turn your helping them into your answer to prayer for the day. Realize if you ask God to let you help someone, when he does let you help them, God is answering your prayer. So in some ways, you're getting the answer to your own prayer by helping someone else. Number three, everybody doing okay? Slap yourself, slap somebody, but all right, here we go. Number three. This is where you're going to get mad at me. Don't seek for ways to answer your own needs or your own prayers. Look to help somebody else. It's amazing how selfish we Christians can be when we pray. "Oh God, I've got to have this." And you do everything in your power to manipulate God to make it work for you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying you shouldn't look for answers to prayer. I'm not saying if you got $300 that you need to get and God gives you a job that you say, "No, I don't want the job. I'm not going to do the job. I'm waiting for God to answer my prayer." God's going to say, "Hey, stupid, do the work." But what I am saying is this: so many times we'll ask God for our needs and then we start manipulating people. "Oh, could you pray for me? I need. Could you help me with this? I need. Could you?" It's amazing how many phone calls this church gets to help them this time of year. I'll be honest with you. We'll take care of our people first. If there's anything left over, we'll try to help somebody else. I got enough folks in this church to help right now. I'm good with that. You can ask my secretary. It's amazing how many people, though, they get mad when you say, "We don't have the wherewithal right now." Like we're the bad guy. Now, wait a minute. You called me for help. It's just amazing this time of the year. Everybody thinks the church is where you go and you rub the door and your pockets are filled. It doesn't work that way. "Well, we called the church." Yeah. And the church has bills like you have. And we have needs like you have. And it doesn't always work that way. Now, listen to this statement. Look for God to help you help others, and then he will help meet your need. Yeah, the best way to get your prayer answered is to forget what you want and go help somebody else. You say, "Do you have needs that you ask God for?" Yes, I do. And as soon as I'm done asking, I've already asked before and ask again, God, show me somebody I can help. And I forget what I need. And I'll go help Brother Stoltz, or I'll go help Brother Barnes. He needs lots of help. Or I'll go help Brother Smith. Man, he's going to need a lot of work this week. And whatever the case, folks, you say, well, do you think about your need again? No, I get busy helping somebody else. And while I'm busy helping somebody else, it's amazing how many times God says, oh, by the way, since you're helping so many folks, here you go. I'll help you too. Forgot about that. Thanks, God. I can't tell you how many times I've had my needs answered and I forgot that I asked God for it. You say, why? Because I got busy helping somebody else. I get so wrapped up in working for helping everybody else, I don't think about my needs. I hate Christmas time. In one sense, my wife and daughter will tell you, Dad, what do you want? Nothing. I don't. Take whatever you want to spend on me, spend it on somebody else. I don't want it. I want you. That's all I want. I am probably one of the hardest people in the world to buy anything for because I don't want anything. I really don't. I have more fun giving than I do getting. Now, getting every once in a while, yeah, it's fun. But it's 10,000 times more fun to give than to get. Say, don't you have things that you would want? If I do, I don't know what they are. I got food. I got a place to live. I've got my family. I got our church. What more could a human being in this world want? That's the way I live. I like giving, and I like giving it away, and I like watching people's needs met, and I'm having fun doing it. It's amazing, though, how many times if I need something, though, God says, oh, since you've been busy, you've been helping me, let me help you. Whew. Now that's cool. There's times I had a need come and I didn't know about that God gave it to me as the need came. And I said, wow. And he says, you've been helping me. It's okay. It's okay. So, by the way, everybody look at me for a second. If you get busy helping other people and God doesn't answer your need when you think he's supposed to answer it, don't you trash God for it. Everybody hear that? If you only help somebody to get your need met, you weren't helping somebody, you were trying to help yourself. You're selfish. I don't help somebody else because I have a need. I help somebody else because I'm having fun doing it, and that's what God said to do. If he meets my need, great. I'm good with it. But if he doesn't, it's okay. It'll get met somehow. We'll figure it out. I don't hold God hostage. Well, I helped you and I didn't get what I need, so I'm not helping you anymore. Boy, that's big boy stuff, isn't it? You used to smack your kids at the sandbox for doing that kind of stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Moving on. Number four. Everybody smile for a second. I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. All right. Number four. This is where wisdom comes into play. Do not give what you do not have. Okay, do not give what you do not have. I'm going to make a statement here. If you owe $200 on your electric bill and God gave you your $200 for your electric bill, but Joe Blow down the street that you know has a need for $200 and you give your electric money away and say, I'm going to live by faith, you're not being real wise. Everybody doing okay? God gave you that money to pay your bills. You don't ask Potomac Edison to live by faith. Say, well, I'm living by faith. No, you're asking Potomac Edison to live by faith because you gave their money away. And by the way, God can't honor that. And God's less apt to honor that. You think it's great sacrifice. God looks down and says, that's foolish. I gave you the wherewithal and you gave it away. Foolishly. Yeah, but they had a need. I understand that. But if God gave it to you to take care of your need, you're not supposed to give it away. Everybody doing okay? Okay, listen to me very carefully. Don't give your tithe away. You're supposed to pay your tithe at church, not to help somebody else. I'm trying to help you with your finances, just so you know. And by the way, you know me. I'm not a money-grabbing preacher. Follow me around. Find out how it goes. I am not trying to get your money. I'm trying to get God to bless you. I do know this, that if you'll obey God with your tithe, guess what? He'll give you more. Okay, moving on. You cannot be a blessing by using cursed funds. Did you hear that? For you to give your tithe to help someone, you have just cursed them, because if you don't give it the way God said he would curse you with a curse. So what you thought is a blessing and is actually a curse. I'm trying to help both people now. I'm going to make a statement here. Okay, listen very carefully. If y'all want to do something nice for me, don't take your tithe money to do it. Don't curse me. I mean that. I'd rather you tithe than give me a Christmas gift. I don't need a Christmas gift. I need you to obey God. Everybody doing okay? Well, I'd like to buy some chairs for the church, so I'll just give my tithe. No, 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 no. Don't curse the chairs. Don't curse the auditorium. Don't curse our church. You tithe. If God gives you over and above that for Christmas, for chairs or whatever, great. But don't you spend God's tithe the way you want to spend it. That's His. If your employer said, I'm going to hire you for $30 an hour, but you're going to spend your paycheck the way I say spend it, how's that going to go over? That's what you're doing to God. That's what you're asking God to do. Everybody doing okay? Okay. And I'm going to make a statement here. God's never going to go against His principles and His words to meet somebody's needs. Never. And if you have to use your tithe to help somebody, guess what? God's not in it. Say, but it's a good thing. I don't care how good it is, it's not God's will. Because it would be contrary to what He said. If God gave you the wherewithal to pay your bills and you don't pay them and you give it to help somebody else, I'm glad you have a tender heart to help somebody, but you're disobeying God and God was not in that. That was your emotion, not God. You're good people. You've been taught, you know, and you do love people deeply. Let me make this statement. Don't feel bad because you can't help everybody. Guess what? I can't help everybody. It's impossible. I got a phone call today. Well, I got more than one phone call today. I got a lot of phone calls today. But I got a phone call today from a missionary from the Philippines. I understood about every 5 words that he said. He was speaking in Ngali. That's combination English and Tagali for those of you that don't understand. But I understood about every 5th word. I knew what he wanted, but I couldn't. I said, brother, I said, I am so sorry. I said, right now, I said, our church is about 15 months old. We're supporting, I think, 6 missionaries. I can't add to it right now, Doc. I said, maybe get back with me in a year. Oh, I'll be back over there, but maybe in 4 or 5 years, I call back. I said, please do. If I'm able to, and you're still going by the King James Bible, soul winning, winning souls, and seeing God work, I said, I'd be glad to talk to you. I hung the phone up. I'll be honest with you, that hurt me. I wasn't happy to say, there's another one. Oh, I hate that. I wished I had enough money to help them all. But I don't. We have to be wise. Everybody doing okay? Okay. You do what you can and ask God to give you more to help more people. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Now, I think your heart ought to be tender. It'll get tender because you ask God many times a day to show you who you can help. And it doesn't have to be anything big. Number five. You ready? I'm almost done. If you don't know who to help, get wise counsel on to know who to help. Say, well, I've got a little extra here, Brother Bush, and I'm not sure who to help. Come see me. I'll let you know. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but this time of the year, it's very easy to give your money away and not do it wisely. There are what used to be Christian organizations that are no longer Christian. And I mean to say this, if you give $20 to most quote-unquote charities, about 80% of it never gets to where it's supposed to go. If 20% of what's donated gets to where it's supposed to go, that's a pretty high percentage anymore. And I'm talking about Salvation Army. I'm talking about any of those types of organizations. There are people... Okay, don't get mad at me here. United Way is one of the biggest supporters of abortion in America. I think you ought to investigate before you donate money. You say, do you feel bad when you go to the register and they say, would you like to donate a dollar for this or that? And I say, no. I had one lady, she looked at me, she said, why not? She hit me on the wrong day. I said, ma'am, I said, because my church helps far more people than that organization will help, and I know exactly where every penny of the money that goes to my church, and I'd rather add more money to my church and help the people that I know than to give it to an organization I know nothing about. And I said it just that way. She said, oh. I said, let me ask you a question. If I donate a dollar, how much of it is actually going to go to that? Oh, all of it. I said, are you sure? I said, I happen to know something about this organization. Do you know anything about it? No. I said, if you'll go to a certain news organization, there was just an article about it, and I showed them where 90% of the funds donated never get to where it's going. I said, that means 10 cents of my dollar goes to what you think it's going for. The other 90%, we don't know where it's going. I said, you come give it at the church. I said, 100% of it's going to go to help somebody else. I said, every last penny. I said, that's better than what you can do. I said, and I'm not mad at you. This isn't your organization. I said, you're doing your job. I picked her back up, you know, after. You ought to come see somebody that can help you wisely distribute it. Some of you have extra that you could help somebody for Christmas, but you don't know who to help. Come see me. Maybe you want to do it anonymously. Great. I understand that. Often people that have the wherewithal don't want to be named. I got a list on my desk right now of people that need help. Say, what are you doing? I'm praying it down. I'm asking God for their needs. Okay, everybody doing okay? All right. Just be careful of public charity. I am not saying you should never give to something that's a public charity. I'm not saying that. Some of you all have worked in shops or offices, and a family has been hit by a tragedy or an illness or a death, and they've collected money and that type of thing, and you know that it's all going to them. Okay, I'm not against that, just so you know. I'm for that kind of thing. I think that's what neighbors do, don't you? But past that, I'd be real careful. Any national organization usually means trouble. just about always. Now, there is one sure thing you can do that I guarantee is an answer to prayer that you can do no matter where you're at, and that is win souls. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Guess what? You winning souls is an answer to God's prayer. Whew. Can I tell you how to be an answer to prayer? Go soul winning. I can't tell you how many times I've won someone to Christ and I find out later, or I'll get a letter, or I'll get word back. Well, I had a mama that's been praying for me for years. That mama was praying for me to win their son or daughter to Christ. I didn't know it, but I got to be used that way. Man, is that fun. That makes you want to run around the church building and clank your shoes over your head and say, well, glory, amen. Now, wait a minute. You can win souls to Christ. It's an answer to prayer for the lost. You know, the lost people don't know how to get saved. I believe that most lost people, once they find out how easy it is to get saved, they're ready to get saved. They've listened to too much religion and they think they got to do so many things that they can't do it. By the way, when you start helping God meet other people's needs, God starts meeting your needs. The disciples were with Jesus. There was thousands of people that needed fed. They said, Lord, you said you want to feed them. We don't have the money. I want you to notice what Jesus did. He said, what you got? Andrew found some teenage boy and got his lunch. And by the way, feeding of the 5,000 wasn't the miracle. It was getting the lunch away from the boy, amen? Did you ever try to take a lunch away from a boy? Forget that mess. Andrew was the miracle worker, not Jesus in that story, I promise you. Jesus said, just bring it here. I want you to notice something. Jesus prayed and break it, gave to the disciples, watch this. The disciples gave what Jesus gave them, and then they took up 12 baskets full. Whew. How would you like to have been one of those disciples? You know where it started from. 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's only if you put one in each basket. That's only 7 baskets. If you broke it in half, you got 1 basket that's got 2 pieces. Or 2 baskets that got 2 pieces. That's only 14 pieces. And they fed over 5,000 people. And then took up 12 baskets full of remains. Whew. Guess what? The disciples had food for a while. In them not being able to help someone, they went to God. God said, you help me. And they helped Jesus. As they helped Jesus, guess what? They got their need met. They weren't worried about their need. They were worried about just helping God. Can I tell you a fun way to live? Why don't you decide you're going to help God answer prayer? And again, it's not all financial. Did you catch that? You say, well, I don't have a lot of money. I don't know anybody in here that's got a lot of money. It doesn't just grow on trees, though there are some people about 70 miles from here that think so. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't have to be financial. It could be that God put somebody on your heart and you just texted them and said, I love you, I'm praying for you. God put you on my heart. I can't tell you how many times I've done that for somebody. And within moments, a text comes back. How did you know? I didn't. What do I know? And they'll tell me the need that they had. I didn't know that. I just knew God put them on my heart. So I prayed for them. And then I told them. Folks, sometimes that's being an answer to prayer. Just praying for somebody. How would you like to be used by God to answer prayer? What a wonderful way to live. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I would love for you to learn how fun it is to serve God that way. To live for God, looking to be an answer to prayer.